President's car passed the knoll on which the assassin apparently situated, hit the ground the moment the shot was fired, in fear that they themselves would be hit by the bullets. Bill Newman said that he did not see who might have fired, and he did not know of anyone in the vicinity who had fired. Pierce Allman was on the streets of downtown Dallas as the motorcade passed through, and you heard shots, did you
not? It happened pretty much in front of me, John. I didn't know that the president was dead until I came back to the newsroom. They wouldn't let us out of the Texas School Book Depository building. As the president turned the corner, we were standing there and broke into applause. As he came around, it's funny because we were remarking among ourselves. Terry Ford of Radio Promotion was with me, and we were looking up at the open windows of the Texas School Book Depository building and at all that open space and wondering just how in the world they had already covered all this and wondering where the Secret Service men were. And right after Mr. Kennedy passed in front of me, I heard one big explosion, and my immediate thought was, like I think most of the people standing around there, this is firecrackers, but it's a pretty poor taste. I looked and saw the president, I thought, duck. Evidently, he was swimming at the time. The car immediately sped on. No one seemed galvanized into immediate action. The shots didn't seem rapid at all. They were three well-spaced, reverberating shots.
How far were you from the car, Pierce, when the shots were fired?
The car was in the middle of the street, and I was on the left-hand side of the street, I'd say about 10 feet.
And it didn't stop?
No, the car kept going. The car did not stop. Mm-hmm. The policeman immediately came over and said, all right, hit the dirt. And everyone concerned scrambled right away, including this young man, Bill Newman, whom I talked to right after it happened. I, like five or six rather foolish other people, immediately ran up the knoll over there by the viaduct, and we looked over the fence. We saw nobody except a lot of people running around. And then I headed into the Texas School Book Depository where they were beginning to search. And
well, did you think at that time that the assassin had fired from the building?
Yes, I think this was the consensus at the time, although now I notice Mr. Newman says he felt the shots were fired from the knoll.
No, I see.
I think the logical place to have fired them would have been from the building, and then when I left a few minutes ago, they were still searching. I think the general reaction of the people over there as I left was, it just can't be.
We have this report just received in the 57 Radio Newsroom that Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the Dallas hospital where President Kennedy died. Johnson was accompanied by his wife. Newsmen had no opportunity to question him. This report was issued at 1:48, which was just moments ago, and apparently squelches the rumor that the Vice President's physical condition was not in good shape. Apparently he is, because Associated Press reports now that the Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left Parkland Hospital, where President Kennedy died, accompanied by his wife, Lady Bird, and he spoke to no one as he left. Pierce, how many shots did you hear? You heard three shots.
I heard three well-spaced shots.
Do you think that the shots were returned? Could it be that the assassin fired one or two shots and possibly one was fired in return, or do you think that all three came from the
same gun? John, this is possible. However, the three I heard a boom, and then a space, and then another boom, and it was not until after the third distinct sound, this third boom, that police were able to draw their revolvers and start firing in return. And of course, it was when they actually were reluctant to fire. I imagine there were a few shots exchanged. I don't remember, frankly, but they were reluctant probably because of all the crowds around. Everyone suddenly popped out with guns and told the public to hug the ground for safety's sake.
Roger,
John. We just got received word from Ron Ryland in the mobile unit that police have a suspect. They picked him up in the Texas Theater. He has a gun. They are taking him to the main station now.
And we are calling in Ron Ryland for a report from WFA's mobile unit on that.
Dallas police have taken into custody a white male found in the Texas Theater. The man is believed to be a suspect in the recent shooting of a police officer at 10th and Crawford in Oak Cliff. A witness at the scene of the killing said that the police officer talked briefly with the young man, and the young man then shot the police officer twice through the head. After a furious search up and down Jefferson Avenue, The officers finally found the suspect that they have taken into custody in the Jefferson Theater, armed with a weapon. He is now en route to the Central Police Station. From the scene, this is Vic Robertson reporting for WFAA News.
Well, apparently the assassin has been apprehended. We have no official confirmation of that, but apparently he was the one. We call in now Walter Evans in the WFAA News Cruiser.
Reporting once again from Parkland Hospital, we've just been told that rumors which circulated earlier that Vice President Johnson had also been shot are erroneous. The Vice President was not injured, nor had he had a heart attack, as had been reported from some sources. About 30 minutes ago, Vice President Johnson was taken from Parkland Hospital. One bystander said he looked ashen when he was taken away, which is understandable. He has been taken to some undisclosed location by Dallas Area Secret Service personnel. There has been no announcement as to when he will be sworn in as President of the United States. That announcement is expected sometime later this afternoon. But repeating once again, reports that Vice President Johnson had been shot, as well as Governor Connally and President Kennedy, those reports were erroneous, nor has he had a heart attack. He apparently is in good condition, although in something of a state of shock because of what has happened here in Dallas this afternoon. He's been taken to some undisclosed location here in Dallas, undisclosed for obvious security reasons. When he will make another appearance is not known at this time. We'll have further reports from Parkland Hospital when details develop. From the scene, Walter Evans reporting for Radio 57 News.
And that clears up one rumor that had been floating about, that Vice President Lyndon Johnson was also in critical condition from an unknown cause. There had been reports that he was wounded in the shooting, which is apparently not correct, and there had also been reports that he had suffered possibly a heart seizure, and that apparently is not true, because the Vice President has now left Parkland Hospital, the hospital in which President John F. Kennedy, the 36th President of the United States, died. President Kennedy was shot to death by a hidden assassin armed with a high-powered rifle. Mr. Kennedy, 46 years of age, lived about an hour after a sniper cut him down as his limousine left downtown Dallas. Automatically, the mantle of the presidency falls to the shoulders of Vice President Lyndon Johnson, a native Texan, who had been riding in the same motorcade, two cars behind the chief executive. There, of course, is no immediate word as yet on when Vice President Johnson will take the oath of office as president. Mr. Kennedy died at Parkland Hospital, where his bullet-pierced body had been taken in a frantic, a futile effort to save his life. Lying wounded at the same hospital is Texas Governor John Connally, who was cut down by the same fusillade that ended the life of the youngest man ever elected to the presidency. Governor Connally and his wife have been riding with the President and Mrs. Kennedy. The First Lady cradled her dying husband's head in her arms as the presidential limousine raced to the hospital. She kept crying, "Oh no." Connally slumped in his seat beside the President. Police ordered an unprecedented dragnet of the city, and as you heard moments ago from Vic Robertson, WFAA newsman, apparently they have apprehended the man they believe to be the assassin. Official confirmation of that, of course, has not as yet been made, but a man was captured, a young man, according to Vic Robertson, after a chase on Jefferson Avenue. Full details of that report escaped me, but as much as I could hear of it a moment ago, police were trying to barricade Jefferson in attempts to apprehend a young man who shot an arresting officer. He was finally located in the Jefferson Theater, or a theater on Jefferson Street. The murder weapon has been reported to be a .30-30 rifle. For a further report from Vic Robertson, we switch now to WFAA News Cruiser.
The man that the police have in custody and on the way to Central Police Headquarters is the man who is believed to have shot police officers J.C. Phipps and Captain Crawford for no explained reason. As of this time, there is no location, no indication from Oakland that there is any further leads as to the man who assassinated President Kennedy. The man was found in the next-to-last row of the Texas Theater, still armed with a weapon. As he was dragged out to a waiting police car, he was yelling, "I protest this police brutality." The police officers hurried him away from a crowd that was ready to leap on the man, and then he was carried away downtown. No further information is immediately available. This is Vic Robertson reporting for Radio 57 News.
There were reports earlier that a dragnet had been thrown out about the trademark in the industrial section of Dallas. Those efforts apparently were futile. No one has as yet reported that anyone has been apprehended or any suspect sighted in that area of town. We spoke earlier in the afternoon with a young man named Bill Newman, who was an eyewitness to the shooting. Of course, as eyewitness accounts often do, they sometimes disagree. Young Bill Newman was under the impression that the presidential car stopped when the shots were fired, and that momentarily it resumed its course as it took the president to Parkland Hospital. Pierce Allman of the WFAA staff was in the same vicinity, and he said it was his impression that the motor car sped onward without stopping. Governor John Connally was shot in the back, slightly below the shoulder blade. The president was shot in the head. There obviously were three shots fired from a grassy knoll by the assassin, who was situated, one estimate placed him as close as 60 feet to the street. Two of the shots struck home. Where the third one hit, we have as yet no report. Neither President Kennedy nor Governor Connally were reported to have received two bullet wounds, so that leaves unaccounted for the third bullet that was fired from what has been described, and from what source we know not, a .30-30 caliber rifle. Now, Vic Robertson may have information on that, because the young man who was captured in the theater on Jefferson reportedly still had a weapon with him. How fact to be determined that it was a .30-30 rifle from bullet wounds is not apparent at this time. A .30-caliber rifle, possibly, but as to whether or not it could have been classified specifically as a .30-30, we are not sure at this time. Six members of President Kennedy's cabinet were out of the country when the shooting occurred, flying to Japan. An hour and a half out of Honolulu, the secretaries, all members of the president's cabinet, were advised of the killing, and immediately their plane turned back. They were expected to speed back to Washington. The party was on its way to a meeting with members of the Japanese cabinet. In the party were Secretary of State Rusk, Secretary of Commerce Hodges, Secretary of Labor Wirtz, Secretary of Interior Udall, and Secretary of Agriculture Freeman, all with their wives. Here's further information on Texas Governor John Connally. He has undergone an operation for a gunshot wound in the chest. His condition is said to be serious. He underwent surgery at 1:30 p.m., and although Connally was described as being not out of the woods, his doctors said that his vital signs are good. So apparently he is in serious condition, but as his doctor say, his vital signs are good. Just exactly what the vital signs consist of, we are not sure of. Perhaps that means something to you. Three of America's last four presidents have faced bullets of an assassin. The nation's 34 presidents have been... Of the nation's 34 presidents, three of them have been slain in office. On November 1st, 1950, two Puerto Ricans tried to shoot their way into Blair House. They crossed from the White House where President Harry Truman was then staying. One gunman was killed, the other is serving a life term. On February 15, 1933, anarchist Joseph Zangara shot at President-elect Franklin D. Roosevelt in Miami. The bullet missed Roosevelt, but fatally wounded Mayor Anton Cermak of Chicago. Today came the shots of President Kennedy, and of the last four men to be elected to the White House, only Dwight D. Eisenhower saw no attempt on his life. The presidents killed by an assassin were Abraham Lincoln, James A. Garfield, William McKinley, and now John F. Kennedy.
John, in that connection, it's interesting to note that since the year 1800, every president for 20 years has died in office. And there was some talk about John Kennedy, when elected in 1960, being hale, hearty, young, very healthy, would probably break this tradition. But because of what's happened today in Dallas, the tradition seems to go on.
We're pausing briefly for station identification. We'll return to reports from the 57 Radio Newsroom momentarily.
This is Radio 57, WFAA, 570 AM and FM, from Dallas, Texas. The President and Texas Governor John Connally, as you know, were cut down by assassins' bullets as they toured downtown Dallas in an ominous open car. Mrs. Kennedy, again repeating, was not hurt. Mrs. Connally also was safe. Witnesses said there were three loud bursts of gunfire. According to WFAA program director, who was an eyewitness at the scene, Pierce Allman, there were three reverberating, well-spaced shots. This is the first president to be slain. While in office, Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and now John F. Kennedy. At first, it was impossible to tell whether the president was hit, but the governor plainly had visible wounds in his chest, indicating the shots came from an automatic weapon, from that Knoll or Texas School Book Depository building on Elm Street. At first, Secret Service agents had thought the shots came from an automatic weapon. Turn now back to Radio 57 News to see if there are any late developments, and here's John Allen.
Ben, this is Roger Reddy. John has stepped out to find out some further information. We have heard just now, a little earlier, we had a report that there was a fellow apprehended at the downtown Dallas theater by the police, and that he had a gun with him, and he was suspected to be the assassin. He was immediately rushed into the police cruiser. He had been apprehended in the Texas theater, the last row of seats, and he was apprehended by the police, put into the cruiser, and rushed immediately downtown to the jail. We have heard, this is still unofficial, that this person had a shotgun with him, and therefore this would indicate that perhaps he is not the one who shot President Kennedy, since apparently the president was shot with an automatic rifle weapon. Governor Connally is still in serious condition with his gunshot wound in the chest. The hospital says his condition, quote, is serious. He said that the governor was not out of the woods, the spokesman at the hospital. His doctor said, however, the vital signs were good, as John Allen just told you. The vital signs apparently indicated from pulse, a heartbeat, etc. He was shot in the chest, which, of course, is always a serious place to get shot. The doctor at the hospital confirms that Connally had a good pulse and that his respiration was satisfactory.
Have you received any further information from Rick Robertson or Walter Evans in the last few moments?
Walter Evans now has a report from the hospital.
I have had a momentary break from the microphone and have not heard what Roger Reddy was saying. We switch now for a late report from Parkland Hospital to Walter Evans in the WFAA news group.
We have just come from a news conference held by Julian Reed, an administrative assistant to Governor John Connally. He had, right before he started his news conference, he had had a conversation with Mrs. Connally, who of course was right in the thick of what went on in downtown Dallas this afternoon. Let's reconstruct briefly what happened. It was about 12:15 this afternoon. The car carrying President and Mrs. Kennedy, Governor and Mrs. Connally, and two Secret Service agents, an open car, had rounded the corner of Main and Houston Streets, had proceeded one block north up Houston Street, and had turned to the left on Elm Street, and was getting ready to go under the Triple Underpass. At that moment, Mrs. Connally said she heard a shot. Instantly, when she heard the shot, her husband turned to see what had happened, and at that instant, he too was shot. Mrs. Connally says she believes the first shot was the one that struck President Kennedy in the head. There was a second shot. That shot struck Governor Connally in the back and, coming out of his body, in the right chest. There are reports of a third shot, and Governor Connally has a wound on his wrist, and that could be the result of that third pistol shot. Although Mrs. Connally is not certain whether there was a third shot or not. She said immediately after the first shot, Mrs. Kennedy grabbed her husband. After the second shot, Mrs. Connally grabbed her husband.
All four of them ducked down into the car to escape any further fusillade of shots. And within a split second, one of the two Secret Service men in the front seat of the car grabbed the telephone, said, "Let's go to the hospital," and then he proceeded to make a call, presumably to other Secret Service men in the area, or perhaps the hospital. At any rate, the car was sped rapidly down Simmons Freeway, both women holding their husbands in their arms, and was here at Parkland Hospital within a matter of 5 to 10 minutes. So that's the situation. There is still no official word as to when Vice President Johnson will be sworn in as President of the United States. About an hour ago, he was whisked away from Parkland Hospital in something of a state of shock himself, although he was not shot, as had been previously reported, nor had he had a heart attack. There had been rumors that he had had a heart attack. None of those rumors were true. He apparently is in good condition under the circumstances. He's been taken to some unknown location, and that location will be kept secret for obvious security reasons. The press room here at Parkland Hospital, which was set up within a matter of minutes by Parkland Hospital officials on the first floor of the building, is in something of a state of shock at this moment. Just now, reporters are beginning to realize what has happened. They acted on reflex right at first and continued to act so for the next hour or so, but by now, a kind of state of shock is beginning to set in. WFAA-TV newsman Mal Koch has just come to the mobile news unit. Mal, what's the situation?
Well, we're not sure right now, Walt. It looks like that Mrs. Kennedy may still be here and may be in a state of shock. Of course, there are many rumors that are floating around. It's also believed that part of Governor John Connally's family has arrived, possibly one of his sons. At this point, this is all that I know from the emergency exit of Parkland. However, Walt, I could tell an interesting story of what happened because I was within 50 to 75 feet behind the president. We had just turned the corner, the motorcade had just turned the corner at, I believe it's Young and Elm. Is this correct?
Elm in Houston.
Elm in Houston, I'm sorry. Overlooking the street is a large building by the name of
the Texas School Book Depository.
Right. Just as the president's car turned the corner, I heard a loud shot that sounded like, at first, a backfire. And then I heard another one. And then, finally, a third shot. We naturally took this third shot as a rifle shot because we figured by the third shot that this was not a backfire. It was not a motorcycle backfiring, but it was actually someone taking a crack at the president. Just as our car rounded the corner, we saw the president's car speed off. I had my camera in my hand and raised it and to see an officer fall and pull his pistol. I took a shot of that, and then to my right, two ladies fell to the ground, and one of them had fainted. People were running hither and hither and yon. Up in the window, I could not tell what the person looked like, but I saw the rifle being pulled back into the window. This was the fifth or sixth floor. There were people underneath the rifle who looked up to see where the shots had come from. One man started running down the street with his little boy, his little child, and several policemen began running after him, thinking that he was the man that had fired the shot. However, he turned out not to be. There was much confusion around there. I noticed on the sidewalk, Walt, some blood. At this time, I don't know whose blood it was, but there was some blood on the sidewalk, away from the street. It must not have been the president's blood. The motorcade then sped off, and I was left in mass confusion to try to grope my way out to Parkland Hospital.
Thank you very much, Mel, for that eyewitness report. Ironically, within just a matter of seconds before these fatal shots were fired, Mrs. Connally commented to President Kennedy, "You certainly can't say that Dallas is an unfriendly city," because they were beaming over the outstanding reception they had received, not only in downtown Dallas but all along the way. Just a matter of seconds after that, the first shot was fired, which struck President Kennedy in the head, and the shot which eventually resulted in his death. here at Parkland Hospital. We're going to return now to the press room set up here in the first floor of Parkland Hospital, and we'll be bringing you further details as they are released by the White House News Department. We've said this two or three times in our previous reports. Let us say it once again. There is something of a crowd gathering here at Parkland Hospital, although it looks like it's not quite as great as it was a while ago. Let us please ask you to stay away from Parkland Hospital. Your presence here can only hamper the Dallas policemen in trying to do their job, protecting the people here and trying to control traffic. So please, don't drive to Parkland Hospital. You won't find out anything any quicker here than you will in your own automobile in another part of the city or at home. This is Walter Evans reporting from Parkland Hospital.
We have had WFAA newsmen scattered about the city from the moment the president's plane touched down along the route of the motorcade at Dallas Love Field and the various points in the city. One of those newsmen, Ron Ryland, was an eyewitness to something that happened on West Jefferson. Would you give us a report on that, Ron?
To Washington in just a few minutes, will you?
Several hundred officers swarmed through every entrance in the theater and found this man sitting in the second row from the back. He was armed with a shotgun. The officers jumped him, wrestled the gun away from him, and then pulled him out through the doors with him screaming, "I protest this police brutality." He was really fighting them all the way, kicking and screaming and hollering, until he got to the front entrance of the theater. There was a crowd, I'd say, of 2,000 or 3,000 people had been attracted to the theater by the all of the screaming sirens and people descending on the area. And as they pulled the man out through the theater, the officers threw a cordon around him. The people stomped the cordon down. They brushed past the police officer and tried to grab the man, shouting, "Murder him," and all sorts of such things as this, and tried to get to him. And I dare say if they had have gotten to him, that they would have pulled him to pieces. Dallas is in an uproar.
You say that he is armed with a shotgun, or was armed with a shotgun.
That's correct, John.
You didn't hear earlier reports that the president's assassin was armed with a rifle. Had you heard that? Do you think?
Well, there's several things going on around at the moment, John. The idea, of course, is that this man is now fighting for his life. He could be armed with anything.
He had more than one weapon.
The Dallas police officer that was shot down in the line of duty had a pistol. This man was shot. The officer was shot with a pistol.
By a pistol.
We found the pistol later. Yes, a .38 caliber police positive revolver.
And there has been a Dallas policeman shot to death, and it's being assumed, although there is no official confirmation, that the same man is responsible. This man that was captured in the theater. Have you heard reports that he was the same one? Vic Robertson has been giving us information on that, and he said that there was a terrific search being made and a chase on Jefferson by police in attempts to apprehend a man that they believe is the one they found in the Jefferson Theater. Is that your information?
Well, John, let me put it this way. Dallas is in an uproar. We've got reports of this man in every part of the city. I do believe that this man may be connected. He may have panicked and shot the police officer. The idea, of course, being behind it, that right now they're going to grab anybody. It's possible that this man, who could have been the same one, he answers a description. He's between 30, 35 years old, short, stocky built, about 5'8", weighs about 145 to 50 pounds, something on this order. He looks exactly as the description has been broadcast. So at this point, anybody that is armed answering this description could be suspect.
So it is possible that the same man, or maybe he had assistance, but it's possible that the same man fired at the president with a rifle, shot a policeman to death in an attempt to apprehend him on West Jefferson, was cornered in the theater, and then used a shotgun in an attempt to break away from police even after they had the theater surrounded.
Well, this is quite possible, John, because a man that's this desperate that would go to these lengths to murder the chief executive of the United States probably would go well on it.
Yes, I agree with that. Thank you very much. Ron Ryland of the WFAA News staff. The president, when he arrived through the greeting of some 5,000 to 6,000 persons. He arrived in Fort Worth. The Christmas lights were on there. Thousands of the lights which lined the downtown Fort Worth buildings were turned on much earlier than usual, in a gesture of hello to the president when he arrived in Fort Worth. The chief executive mingled with the crowds there at Carswell Air Force Base and also in front of the Texas Hotel in downtown Fort Worth. And then the president had flown to Dallas late this morning following a breakfast luncheon in Fort Worth. Thousands were on hand when the president's plane touched down at Love Field. and there followed a motorcade through downtown Dallas. It was almost over. The motorcade through Dallas to 100 yards. One report says 60 feet, another 100 yards away from the presidential car. The Dallas police had, in effect, at the time, the most stringent security arrangements that they have ever attempted here. Police Chief Jess Curry had been warning for several days against just such a possibility. He did not specifically say an assassination, but he said any incident, any untoward incident, would be forestalled, if possible, by the Dallas police, and every attempt was being made. It was hoped that there would be no demonstration against the president, like that which occurred when the U.N. Ambassador Adlai Stevenson was here recently. Six members of the president's cabinet were flying to Japan when the president was killed this afternoon. They were an hour and a half out of Honolulu. The secretaries were advised of the killing, and they immediately turned back to Washington. They're expected to speed back to Washington today. The party was on the way to a meeting with members of the Japanese cabinet. And in the party were Secretary of State Rusk, Secretary of Commerce Hodges, Secretary of Labor Wirtz, Secretary of the Interior Stuart Udall, and of Agriculture Orville Freeman. And each of these members of the president's cabinet had their wives with him. They were informed on the plane that the president had been shot and turned back to this country. We have this further information. Police now say that President Kennedy was assassinated by a shot from a warehouse, so that if this has been confirmed, then that rules out the grassy knoll near the street on which the motorcade passed. The entire building has now been evacuated, and Dallas police say that they have found the remains of fried chicken and paper on the fifth floor. They say the sniper apparently had been there for some time. The Secret Service said the assassin apparently used a high-powered Army or Japanese rifle of approximately .25 caliber. They said the rifle had a scope on it. Where this information comes from, we do not know. We earlier had reports it was a .30-30 rifle, but the Dallas police are being quoted now as saying that the rifle was of Japanese make, of high power, and approximately .25 caliber with a scope on it, and remains of fried chicken and the paper have been found on the fifth floor of a warehouse along the presidential route, and from which the bullets apparently were fired. That's the Dallas police with that information. Vice President Johnson's wife, after a check on conditions in the emergency section, has said that her husband was unharmed. There were earlier rumors that the vice president had been hurt or had suffered an attack of some sort, but these rumors have now been cleared up, and he has left the hospital. The whereabouts of the vice president are not known, and when he will be sworn in as president is also a closely guarded secret. He is, I'm sure, under heavy Secret Service guard at this time. Roger Reddy of the WFAA newsroom.
Yes, John, we just got a call from Vic Robertson at the police headquarters here in Dallas, and Vic has told us that a Bureau FBI man has said that the man who was apprehended at the Texas Theater in downtown Dallas with the shotgun apparently is not going to be able to be connected with the direct assassination on President Kennedy, but that he apparently was the one who shot the policeman in a subsequent event in downtown Dallas.
Do they feel that he was connected indirectly?
Vic didn't say. He intimated that apparently this was part of the reaction to the assassination.
They didn't give any indication as to whether they thought there was more than one person involved in the assassination attempt.
No, they didn't, but obviously there is. The man has not been charged yet. He has not been formally charged with anything. They're still holding him, still questioning him. They have nobody else in custody, and Vic says as soon as he finds out later where, he'll give it to us.
Travis Lynn is now in the WFAA mobile unit downtown with a report on the reaction of Dallasites.
Here in downtown Dallas, there is an extra edition of a newspaper out, and it is very abundant on the streets. It says simply, President dead. The atmosphere in Dallas, which is at this time wind-blown, is one of a crowded street. The streets are jammed with automobiles, and the sidewalks with people who are just standing there. Just standing, occasionally reading a newspaper, talking to one another. One man came up to my car and said, "Have they caught him? Have they caught him?" And he was, of course, referring to the suspect of the assassination, and we were unable to tell him whether or not anyone definitely connected with the assassination has been arrested. I was at the trademark prepared to give a report on the president's speech to some 2,500 people. When the first news that the president had been shot came, it first did not go to the public in general. There at the trademark, the 2,500 luncheon guests were not informed. However, the rumor spread like wildfire through the corridors, and newsmen, about 250 of them, raced out of the building carrying their cameras with them. A long wait ensued in which this rumor began to spread across the crowd itself. Then, some 30 minutes after the president had died, an announcement was made that it is apparent some incident has occurred. We do not know how serious it is. A benediction was said as everyone stood and bowed his head. About 30 minutes passed, and still the people maintained their seats at the trademark, unable to believe that anything had happened to the president of the United States. Finally, the announcement was made that the president had been shot and taken to Parkland Hospital. The announcement that the president was dead was never made at the trademark, but it was obvious from the tone of the man giving the announcement, Dr. Luther Holcomb of the Dallas Council of Churches, that it was a grave situation. Another prayer was said for the country, and then people left the trademark. Perhaps the most typical reaction was that of a Negro porter who was to serve the president. He leaned back against the presidential seal on the rostrum, pulled out his handkerchief, and wailed loudly. Here in downtown Dallas, people are talking to one another, as I say, without expression on their faces. And it's a solemn day in Dallas. This is Travis Lynn in downtown Dallas. Now back to Communication Center.
This is Ben Laurie at Master Control at WFAA. Our Washington correspondents have told us of a moment of silent prayer that was called for by the presiding official of the General Assembly of the United Nations in New York. And following that moment of silence, the General Assembly at the UN has been adjourned for the rest of the day in mourning for the passing of the assassination of the President of the United States. The body of President Kennedy has been taken from Parkland Hospital. Sources say it will be flown to Washington this afternoon. Mrs. Kennedy left Parkland Emergency Ward by the back door in a slow, deliberate pace, obviously dazed. Sources all around her during the entire ordeal said she was not hysterical at any point during the entire affair. Results in social circles are beginning to be felt around Big D. The scheduled football game between Woodrow Wilson and South Oak Cliff High Schools, scheduled for tonight, has been called off. This game will be rescheduled for Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. at Cobb Stadium. Likewise, the Dallas Morning News Travel Club will not meet tonight as scheduled. And now we turn you back to Radio 57 Newsroom and more details as they come in.
A moment ago, we received reports that a man had been arrested in Fort Worth by police officials or authorities there, possibly some connection with the assassination attempt. That has not been confirmed. Police do say now, however, that President Kennedy was assassinated by a shot fired from a warehouse as the presidential motorcade was nearing the Triple Underpass at the west section of the downtown Big D area at the intersection of Elm Street and Houston. The entire warehouse has been evacuated, and Dallas police say that they have found the remains of fried chicken and paper on the fifth floor. They say the sniper apparently had been there for some time. WFAA newsman Mal Couch, who was situated in that vicinity, said that he saw a gun of some sort. He did not know for certain what it was, rifle or gun, appear from a window on the fifth or sixth floor. Apparently it was on the fifth floor of the warehouse from which the assassin fired. Police, here is an official confirmation of this report we just gave you, that police have arrested a man in the Riverside section of Fort Worth in the connection with the shooting of a Dallas policeman. However, this man denies any connection with the assassination attempt of President Kennedy. The earlier reports we had were that a man had shot to death a Dallas policeman on West Jefferson. Approximately 20 police squad cars were enlisted in the attempt to capture him, and he was finally located. The man they believed to have been the one who shot the policeman was located in a Jefferson Street theater, and at that time he was armed with a shotgun. So these conflicting reports remain to be verified and straightened out. We now call in Walter Evans, who has an additional report to make from the WFAA news cruiser.
We don't know for sure, because none of the White House staff knows for sure, but probably at this moment this country has a new president. Vice President Lyndon Johnson was whisked away from Parkland Hospital about 1 o'clock, approximately 1 o'clock, to some secret location, and we've just been told that the purpose of whisking him away was for the purpose of officially swearing him in and making him, without any legal question, the new president of the United States. Just what President Johnson's status is or what his location is at this moment, nobody knows. When we'll find out, we don't know, because the authorities, the White House authorities, who are passing out all the information here at Parkland Hospital, themselves don't know. He apparently had with him when he left at least two or more Secret Service men and one administrative assistant. They were taken somewhere, probably in the city of Dallas, for the swearing-in, but where that is, we don't know. Two doctors who were in attendance, who attended President Kennedy after he was brought into the emergency room here at Parkland, have just this moment concluded a news conference. They were Dr. Kemp Clark, who is chief of neurosurgery here at Parkland Hospital, and Dr. Malcolm Perry, one of the attending physicians. Dr. Clark told the newsmen that there was at least one wound, perhaps two wounds, in the upper portion of President Kennedy's body. There was a wound in the head, which would obviously be the fatal wound. There was perhaps a second wound in the front part of the neck, below the larynx, below the Adam's apple. He says he's not sure at this time whether the neck wound was caused by the same slug that entered the head or not, or whether it was perhaps a second bullet. This is not known at this time. I see our Fort Worth newsman, Fred Hatton, who's on the scene. He's just come running up to the wagon. Fred, what's the situation?
Walter, they are going to swear the vice president in as president at Love Field at this time.
All right, fine, Fred. Thank you very much. Are you going out there now?
Yes.
Fine. Thank you very much. We've just been told, as you heard, that Vice President Johnson will be sworn in at Love Field within the next few minutes. We'll try to bring you details of that event as they happen. We're on our way there now at this time.
Dallas police, as you may have heard, have arrested a 24-year-old man whose name is Lee H. Oswald on West Jefferson. Whether he is the assassin or connected with the assassination attempt in any way has not been determined at this time. However, police are quizzing him to see if he had any possible connection with the slaying. We do not know the name of the man or of what authority arrested a person in Fort Worth, but someone in Fort Worth has been apprehended, and a person in Dallas has been apprehended, and police apparently are questioning both of them now. J. Edgar Hoover has ordered a full Federal Bureau investigation, FBI investigation here in Dallas, and apparently more than local officials will be involved. Ted Cassidy has just come in with some possible new information.
Here's a bulletin, John, that may have some credence. It's been now issued by two wire services. Lyndon Johnson has already been sworn in as President of the United States at about 1:38 today, Central Standard Time. The oath was administered by U.S. District Judge Sarah T. Hughes. We've been waiting for this event to happen. Apparently, it's already taken place.
The United States of America now has a new president. President Lyndon Baines Johnson. A Dallas policeman has been shot and killed while chasing the suspected assassin in the West Jefferson area of Dallas. Another officer was with him at the time, and he said the man, when he was apprehended, yelled, "It's all over now," and the two fell struggling into a seat of a theater. The officer's face was slashed, but he managed to arrest the suspect anyway. We're trying to piece together the details, the bits of information that have been filtering into the communication center here since approximately 12:45 this afternoon. I suppose that's the hour it began. 12:41, I believe, was one of the earliest moments. I remember having heard a mention on the police radio of something that sounded as if it might have great import. I was not aware of what it actually was, but the tone of their voices indicated that something had happened that Dallas police had been striving so hard to prevent. Chief Curry himself, in advance of the president's visit to Dallas, had said that every effort would be made to prevent any untoward incident, anything that might embarrass or harm the president, from happening in Dallas. Extra special precautions were being made due to the fact that something embarrassing had happened during the recent visit of you and Ambassador Adlai Stevenson. But in spite of their efforts, the President John F. Kennedy has been assassinated. Ted Cassidy, you have information.
There's another report. We have so many conflicting reports, you aren't sure which to believe, so you must say that each is an unofficial one until it's officially confirmed by sources from the White House or officially in Washington. But the FBI, it is said by those close to this source of information, have much more information about the assassin and about the shooting than they are willing to divulge at the moment. Travis Lynn in a WFAA mobile news unit is ready with another report.
President Johnson is now President Lyndon Baines Johnson, President of the United States of America. A White House spokesman has just announced that at 2:39 this afternoon, Federal Judge Sarah T. Hughes of Dallas swore in Lyndon Johnson as President of the United States. Judge Hughes, who was herself appointed by President John Kennedy, was crying as she performed the ceremony. Vice President Johnson, who was at that time becoming a new president, was in the compartment of the plane, the front part of which carried President Kennedy's body at the time. He squeezed in as many people in the compartment as would fit, and one photographer, the official White House photographer. The ceremony began, and Lyndon Johnson repeated after Judge Sarah T. Hughes the words, "I do solemnly swear that I will perform the duties of the President of the United States to the best of my abilities, and defend, protect, and preserve the Constitution of the United States, so help me God." President Lyndon Baines Johnson, President of the United States, is now in the air en route to Washington on Air Force One, the same plane which is carrying the body of former President John Kennedy. From Love Field, this is Travis Lynn reporting for WFAA News.
Governor John Connally, Texas Governor John Connally, has been described as not out of the woods as yet, but his vital signs are good. That was the word given out by doctors at the emergency ward in Parkland Hospital, where Governor John Connally underwent major surgery. His chest was opened, and I did not hear the report that came in on the actual operation itself, but as I remember it, he had possibly had as many as three or four broken ribs, and He is now apparently out of surgery, but is still in very critical condition. He spoke a few words after he arrived at the emergency ward at Parkland. The president's fatal wound was inflicted in the head by the assassin's bullet. We are awaiting further information from all sources, and it filters in gradually from the newsmen we have in the field, from federal and local law enforcement agencies. We had for a time rumors that we did not quote because we had no verification for them that Vice President Lyndon Johnson, who is now the President of the United States, had suffered a heart seizure. That was not true. Neither was the rumor that he, too, had been wounded. He is now the new President of the United States, sworn in by Federal Judge Sarah T. Hughes. Lieutenant Governor Preston Smith has termed President Kennedy's assassination the darkest day in the history of the state of Texas. In a statement to newsmen, he said, "Words are not possible for me to express my feeling over the barbaric actions which occurred today." Smith made this in a prepared statement.
Ladies and gentlemen, our coverage of the president's assassination will continue on 570. This is WFAA, 570 AM and FM at Communications Center in Dallas. It's 3 o'clock. This is WFAA 820 AM and FM at Communications Center in Dallas.
And Smith continued, "A Lieutenant Governor of Texas, I officially extend every sympathy possible to the President's family and to Mrs. Connally. Thank goodness the governor was not incapacitated." Smith said that he has no authority to assume the office of governor unless Connally is incapacitated. He said he will not take any action in that direction unless Connally makes a direct request that he do so.
Reaction around the world has been diverse and instant, as you might suspect. For example, in Moscow, TASS has been saying, it's reported, that the assassin of President Kennedy was a conservative right-winger. Now, that may or may not prove to be the truth later. However, they, as usual, are simply going on their own policies
and their own attitudes of what they feel should be best in terms of their own propaganda.
Ted, yeah? we now have a report ready for
Dick Robertson.
Dick Robertson, who's reporting from City Hall.
Now, as though the suspect being held for the murder of a Dallas policeman is a better and better suspect all the time for the assassination of President Kennedy. Dallas police officials are still making no official comment, but information has come out from sources that obviously at this time cannot be identified, that the man is a deserter from the United States who defected to the Soviet cause at one time and has a Russian wife. And the private opinion in the Criminal Investigation Division is that this is the man, although the Dallas Police Department is still working on other leads. From Police Headquarters, this is Dick Robertson reporting for WFAA News.
And we have had reports that the FBI has considerable information that they are not divulging at this time, as is their custom, in order not to tip their hand in any case until it is successfully concluded. They apparently have information that they have not released to us, possibly information that would tend to indicate that this is or is not the man, but we have to await their official announcement. Ted Cassidy has been in the Communication Center newsroom almost from the start. When was the hour that you first learned of the assassination of the president?
John, I heard your bulletin delivered this morning. I can't recall the exact time.
It was slightly after the noon hour. It was about 12:40, somewhere along there. I forgot
myself. The first bulletin that you delivered occurred. Yes, that's right. And then Travis Lynn, who was standing by at Market Hall, where the president was to speak, and then leave for Austin for the dinner, which, of course, has been canceled for tonight. Travis, naturally, was unaware that this had taken place in downtown Dallas, and following your announcement that three shots had been fired, and, of course, in that bulletin, there was no word whether the shots had found a mark.
Yes, we didn't know at that time.
But then Travis, in his report, said that we continued to wait for him. Of course, it wasn't but a minute, or perhaps 2 minutes, before the word had spread across our communications network so that we all knew about it. My first reaction was somebody probably has been shooting a gun into the air perhaps demand attention.
Some people thought it was a firecracker and things like that. We can now have a further report from Walter Evans and Travis Lynn. A few newsmen will come in, please.
And as President of the United States at 2:39 this afternoon, and he has already departed for Washington. A White House spokesman here at Love Field said that President Johnson and as many people as could got into one compartment of Air Force One, the official presidential plane, and the swearing-in ceremony was conducted there. Mr. Johnson was sworn in as president by Judge Sarah T. Hughes, a federal judge for the Northern District of Texas, who herself was appointed by President John Kennedy when he came to office. Now here's another report from Art Sinclair, who has with him the ambulance driver involved in the operation.
Travis, this young man has a very sad story to tell, and I'm going to ask him just simply to tell it in as few words as he possibly can, and yet we want to know the full story. His name is A.L. Reich. He is with the O'Neill Mortuary here in Dallas, one of the finest ambulance and mortuaries in the city. Of course, they were at the hospital on another case at this time. A.L., what happened when you got to Parkland Hospital?
Well, we were standing by with another patient when everyone started running in and hollering for ambulance cots, our cots, to transport someone out of a car. And we stood by while they brought the president and, I guess, the governor and the vice president come walking in, which was when everyone then knew what had taken place. And, they run everyone out of the hospital that they could at the time. And then they had us stand by on the ambulance dock in case we had to transfer one of the patients to another hospital. They, in turn, called our funeral home for a casket after the news had been sent out that the president had expired. We then, in turn, took the casket back to one of the Trumbull rooms at Parkland Hospital and proceeded to load the president. But before we did, the president's wife came in, took a ring off her finger and placed it on the president's finger and kissed his hand. We then, in turn, loaded the president into his casket. I had the head where most of the blood seemed to be coming from, and it was really a terrible experience. get the blood on my hands of the President of the United States. I don't consider it a big honor or anything, but I do consider it, well, it's just hard to say how it would feel to load or cut the President, especially in that case. Really, it's heartbreaking to know anything about it. A.L. Wright from Love Field. This is Art Sinclair reporting.
Repeating information on the condition of Governor John Connally, the governor's office says doctors have opened his chest and found several broken ribs and a bruised lung. The governor was shot at the same time the assassin fired the fatal bullet into President Kennedy. The doctors say that the governor's lung was collapsed by the bullet but has since been reinflated. Doctors report no serious artery damage to the governor's heart. He will be in the operating room until about 4:30 p.m. and then will go undergo surgery for a leg wound. Governor Connally's pulse and blood pressure are reported all right. That last report was issued at 2:30. Incidentally, we, as far as I can recall, have not had the name of that officer who was slain on West Jefferson in the attempt to apprehend the man believed to have been the assassin or possibly connected with the assassination attempt in some way. Officer J.D. Tippett, 38 years old, was slain as he and fellow policeman M.N. McDonald ran into a rear exit of the Texas Theater. Tippett and McDonald had received a tip that the assassin of President Kennedy might have gone into that specific theater on West Jefferson. An usher told them a man in a brown shirt had entered the darkened theater a few moments before, and according to police headquarters, Tippett fired a shot. McDonald rushed the suspect. The suspect said, "It's all over now." McDonald and the suspect sprawled over a seat in the theater. McDonald's face was slashed, and police said it was a 4-inch gash. The suspect was then seized.
Something more on the building and the room where it is suspected the assassin lay in wait. Police said they found the remains of fried chicken and paper on the fifth floor.
Yeah, we had that report earlier, but there may be those who have not heard it. On the fifth floor,
it indicates that the sniper apparently had been there for a while.
Fifth floor of a vacant warehouse near Commerce and Houston Streets.
They have a man under arrest by the name of Oswald, 5'9", weighing about 160. Blonde hair, bald, dressed in ragged-looking trousers and a sports shirt.
He is the one they captured on West Jefferson, right?
The report from Rome, of course, is that there will be a good deal of attention given on the network radio and television networks. And in fact, in Great Britain, both television and radio, I think it's Great Britain, it's one of the countries of Europe, have gone off the air altogether.
Well, Ted, I heard that the video portion of their television broadcast on the BBC had been eliminated and that the audio was continuing with appropriate music. Possibly radio has gone off altogether, I'm not sure, but as far as BBC television, just the video portion has been canceled.
Here is Travis Lynn with a further report.
Complaint in the presidential party is now taxiing down the end of the runway at Love Field in preparation for taking off. Vice President Johnson, Mrs. Johnson, Mrs. Kennedy, and the body of former President John F. Kennedy have already left Love Field. This second plane, and you may be able to hear the whine from the engines at this time, which is now taxiing to the end of the runway to take off, carries the remainder of the presidential party. Of course, the tour which had been planned, has been canceled, and there will be no appearance of anyone officially in Austin. The plane bears the inscription, United States of America. It has a U.S. Air Force symbol and an American flag on the tail, and it is now leaving Love Field with the rest of the presidential party. The hearse which brought President Kennedy's body out here to the airport has now departed the airport and is en route back to a funeral home in Dallas. As we mentioned earlier, Johnson was sworn in as President of the United States aboard Air Force One before it departed for Washington, and after the official swearing-in ceremony conducted by a tearful Judge Sarah T. Hughes, Vice President and now President Lyndon Johnson said solemnly, "Let's get this plane to Washington." The plane took off and was gone immediately about 20 minutes ago. From Love Field, this is Travis Lynn returning you to WFAA.
We recapitulate briefly here that Vice President Johnson has been sworn in by Judge Sarah T. Hughes. He is now the official President of the United States of America, Lyndon Baines Johnson. A man has been taken into custody by authorities. His name is given as Oswald. He is about 5'9", weighs approximately 160 pounds, has blonde hair and is balding, and he was dressed in ragged-looking trousers and a sports shirt. Whether he actually is the assassin or not, we do not know at this time. The FBI is reported to have information that they are withholding, and it may be that they will release information as soon as they feel that they have the case against that man or the person they suspect of being the assassin completed.
In New York, former President Dwight Eisenhower has remarked that the assassination of President Kennedy was a despicable act. The former president said that from his suite at a hotel in New York. I quote him now, "I share the sense of shock and dismay that all Americans feel at the despicable act that resulted in the death of our nation's president. Mrs. Eisenhower and I also join with all other citizens in expressing our personal grief and prayerful concern to Mrs. Kennedy and all other members of the family." That's former President Dwight Eisenhower speaking in New York on the assassination of John Kennedy. To the knowledge of WFAA News, all civic and sporting events scheduled for this evening in Dallas have been canceled. Let me repeat that. Every civic and sporting event scheduled for this evening in Dallas have been canceled. That is the report to the best of our knowledge. Stay tuned to WFAA. We'll bring you specific details throughout the afternoon and evening. There was to be a football game between Yale and Harvard. They're now considering postponing, for at one time, the late President Kennedy was a football player at Harvard. Here is further news on the cancellation of the civic and sporting activities. The Crystal Charity Ball has been canceled due to the death of President John Kennedy. All proceeds received to this date will be given to the Children's Medical Center as a memorial to the late President Kennedy. And that's signed Mrs. Burwell J. Thompson, the chairman of the Crystal Charity Ball. There'll be a number of these announcements, we feel sure, as the day wears on. In Tyler, Bob Murdoch has surveyed the scene from the East Texas Agricultural Council. Our farm and ranch reporter Murray Cox was in touch with Bob only moments ago, and here's how Tyler looks at this event.
Bob, sort of unofficially around Tyler in East Texas, I know you're stunned as we are here. What's been the reaction in Tyler?
Well, of course, everyone has been in stunned disbelief. The news hit at the noon hour when people were gathered in the various restaurants and cafes. And the first news, young secretary came in and made this announcement, and of course we smiled and said, "Oh, you're kidding." Harry said, "No, it's on the news out here on the television in the lobby," so everybody gathered there. And as I say, stood in stunned disbelief that this could have occurred. It's been quite a number of years, of course, since anything like that has happened. And naturally, everybody deplores that it has happened, and particularly that such a thing would occur in Texas.
A lot of your East Texas people are here in Dallas, of course, for this great occasion, and they'll be coming home and reporting soon.
Yes, we think it's a terrible thing, and it's just hardly believable at this time.